have to eat the dream. You have to sleep the dream. You have to dream the dream. You got to touch. You have to see it when nobody else sees it. You have to feel it when it's not tangible. You have to believe it when you cannot see it. You got to be possessed with the dream. The dream.
Yeah. Any weapon formed against us shall not prosper. Young niggas started with oozing noodles, now we eating lobster. As I walk through the valley with my ladder and flex, I'm the realest nigga in it, I just happened to rap. When they all thought we was finished, they was laughing at that. So I went and bought me a dawn and flipped their ass to the back. Fuck, new drag, new whips on the way now. That's your bitch on the way now. Mama told me if you fall, never stay down. Stand up, nigga, I can never lay down. Wins and them losses, you come up being bosses. Shoot a pussy nigga in his head if he crosses. Take that shit to
trap. Happy Friday, good evening, and welcome to Rogue Nation Radio on the African American Talk Radio Show on Truth Network. I am your host, Charlie Rogue, and tonight we'll be recapping this, this week's hot topic and current events. Let me bring in my panel guest this evening. Shantae, are you on the line? Oh, nope, I'm sorry. She's not. Let me get Lisa. How you doing?
Hey, I'm here.
What up? Hi, Junior.
I'm here.
How y'all doing today?
Great.
Cool, cool. So I'm going to start off with, well, the things I want to talk about this week, of course, is that orange moron in the White House, his sick response to Puerto Rico and Las Vegas and all of that. I want to talk about the autopsy report of this Kanika Jenkins. Good Lord, it's over, I think. That was the 19-year-old woman found in a hotel freezer. I also want to talk about, this is the one-year anniversary of the Grab Them by the Pussy video. Yes, that happened 1 year ago.
Oh, my God.
I know you. Anyway, so Newsweek article. Can you hear me all right, Lisa?
Yeah, you got to come a little closer to the phone.
Speak into the mic. Speak into the mic. All right, so Newsweek. Article I stole off Newsweek today says one of many shocking aspects of the Las Vegas shooting on Sunday night, during which at least 59 people were killed and more than 500 injured, was the sheer size of the arsenal stockpile by the shooter. After busting into his room on a 32nd floor of Mandalay Bay Hotel, where the police said the shooter killed himself, officers found 23 guns in the hotel room, including high-powered rifles capable of penetrating police armor. When searching for Paddock's home in Nevada, police found another 19 weapons and several thousand rounds of ammunition and explosives. So my question is, how in the hell was he able to assemble this small army's worth of ammunition and guns and get it into this hotel room and nobody say nothing? Nobody notices it. Nobody notices that he puts a camera at the end of the hallway. No bad stuff. He had two cameras and nobody noticed? Am I crazy?
Yes.
No. No.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
Believe it if you want to.
Okay, but you got to think about it like this. If you're in a hotel and you're bringing in suitcases, who's going to be like, open up your suitcases? He's not walking in there with an army bag. He's not walking in there with duffel bags. He had these firearms broke down in suitcases. Who's going to question you bringing in 20 suitcases? Who's going to care? Who's going to be counting suitcases? So it's easy to get them in a hotel.
What a video of him bringing in these 20 suitcases. I want to see this video of him bringing in 20 suitcases.
They haven't released it yet. He checked in on Thursday, and every time he left and came back, he brought at least one or two suitcases. But like I'm saying, if you in Las Vegas where everybody there is traveling, doing shows, they have makeup, they have wigs, who's going to check your suitcase? For what? Who's going to question you? And not to mention, he's spending $30,000 a day. He could have smacked the owner of the hotel, and they wouldn't have said nothing. I'm just saying, let's be realistic. And he's a white male. Who's going to question him? We need to get that out of our head that the world is fire and everything is rainbows and marshmallows. There's
and unicorns.
Yes, and unicorns. There's nobody. What are they going to question him for? In hindsight, in retrospect, we're like, oh, yeah, they should have checked him. But he's in a hotel where everybody got suitcases. Who's going to be like, oh, let's check his suitcase?
Well, I bet you now that...
Yes, now.
Yeah, you know they're going to create some type of law.
Yes.
For the United States.
Yes.
Cause, reaction, solution.
Yes.
So now they're going to come, just like what they did in 9/11.
Yes.
Now every time we go to the doggone hotel, they're going to be in our crack, trying to glue and I go through our bags
and then you gotta,
take away even more rights.
And then you got to think about it. It was almost, I hate to say it, it was a perfect crime. I mean, it was. He picked the right room.
But what's the motivation for a billionaire? Like, that's what I'm not, I can't.
Crazy.
You know, a lot of folks are crazy, but that don't mean
he was just tired of buying up stuff. So he was like, hey, let me buy a bunch of guns and kill some people.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. And then, again, you're thinking rational. You're a rational thinking person.
And not to leave no trace whatsoever? What's the motive? Like, no trace of nothing?
The trace was he had a lot of money and a lot of time, and instead of growing tomatoes, he decided he wanted to kill people. Those are the facts. It might come out that something was wrong, or I think, but his family has a history of mental illness. So I think he's off, personally. I mean, I could be wrong. He looks crazy. Like, he looked like he got little baby parts in his basement. Like, he looks crazy to me. Just looking at the picture, he looks off to me. I don't know why. I don't.
There are some normal photos of him. They just got bad angles.
No.
Because he can't be that crazy and pull off that perfect of a crime.
I didn't say, I don't mean crazy like retarded. I mean like something's wrong with his head. Jeffrey Dahmer was eating people for years before they found out. I'm just saying.
Right.
He going to bars, meeting people, flirting with men, and he's eating them. Nobody knew. He was a normal guy.
Yeah.
For years. But he's eating people.
I'm gonna vomit,
like this is what I'm saying. We just need to get it out of our head that because these people are normal or act normal. I mean, that's what crazy people do. He's not running around here licking his hands. Like, dude, he was off.
I just want to know how much I want to bet if I start to get my arsenal up right now and go get, like, 10 guns. Let me see if I start off with 5, okay? Then I go back a month later, go get me 5 more. The fans going to be in my duck.
Not true.
I don't believe it.
Not true.
They going to be watching, like, what is this bitch doing?
Okay, but I have 5 now.
I'm just saying.
You got 5 now. Like, now, go get 5 more and wait 2 weeks to go get 5 more.
Okay, but what I'm saying is,
a black person couldn't get as much as he did and nobody pay attention?
You might, though. That's what I'm saying, but you might think that, but if people out here with 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, 9 guns, you can buy as many as guns as you want to at a time.
I can go down to the corner and get about 3 of them.
Right, I'm not saying that. My point is, it's going to trigger somebody. FBI says going to be at my door.
You're going to get scrutinized at the counter. But the thing is, he went to like 5 different states. He never went to the same place. After he bought a gun, he went somewhere else. And not to mention, he's been buying guns for over 10 years. Over 10
you
years,
saying
he
this
bought
is premeditated?
Yes.
It sounds like you're saying it's premeditated.
Yes. He bought these guns. He's been buying guns for 10 years. Now, when he came up with how he was going to use them or where he was going to use them at, that might have been recent. But he's been plotting something. Dude, you don't just buy that many guns to go to that many different states to buy guns.
Maybe he just been a part of some type of extortion ring, and he was just like, I'm just tired of being extorted. Let me just end this now. I'm tired. And he said, fuck it, I'm taking everybody with me.
I mean, like I said, I just think he was crazy. But what I will tell you is he went through a lot to get them guns the way they were shooting. If I don't know nothing else, I know guns. And he was not bullshitting. He was not playing, dude. Like, I'm telling you. Dude, he was shooting over 100 rounds per minute. And, like, I don't know what's going through your head when you just up in the wind. I mean, it's like, and then that's another thing. This is why I hate crowds. Like, it's, you can't move. They couldn't move. They didn't know where the bullets was coming from. Even if you react, you running into bullets. You don't know what's going on. So he's just sitting there just unloading on people. Like, what? That's not normal. Like, something have to snap. I don't care what your motive is. Ain't no normal person doing that.
Well, I would love to know how many of my people that have went to go buy a gun since this has all went down. Because trust me, the other side is stocking up.
Everything is up. Baby, gun sales is up.
I Googled, what is that? What was that? Bump stop. The next day, every store had it shut down. Amazon removed it. Everybody, but I bet you can still get it somewhere.
Yeah, you can get it somewhere.
Sure.
If you know the right people and got the money.
Right.
Because they're not $40 no more. I can guarantee you that.
Hell no.
Right.
Just because. But I know how to cure it. I know how to cure it. They want to ban everything. They want to take away everybody's First Amendment, Second Amendment. Hey, I need every black male to go purchase a semi-assault rifle. See how quick they ban that shit.
Facts.
I need everybody.
They won't do. That's the reason why they first tried. They started trying to ban assault weapons back when they were banned because all the black people was getting them and they was using them in the inner city. They're like, oh, we can't have that. So they banned them, let it cool down, and let you start getting them again. I mean, that's how it works. If black person took guns seriously like white people did, guns have been damn banned. They have been put all types of stipulations on them and everything.
Right. That's my solution. That's my solution to this second. I need everybody. Go get you 5 pieces of armor and be rich, okay? Shoot. I'm trying. All right, guys, we need to take a break and give a couple minutes to the sponsors. You're listening to Rogue Nation Radio on the African American Talk Radio show on Truth Network. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Davies, and I'm the owner of the Every.Black family of websites. After nearly 30 years of computer experience, I spent over 2 years developing a series of websites that helps African Americans become successful in the information age, in their businesses, and in their careers. We support our members by highlighting them in a weekly email announcement. We create a monthly directory where every member has a full-page display. And this directory is available on any of our websites as a free download. One of the largest advantages of joining the Every.Black family is the ability to network with all of the other members. Members are doing business with one another every day. It's only $99.99 a year or $9.99 a month. You can't beat the price. On top of that, we have also partnered with the Truth Network to provide a 10% discount for anyone joining and using the discount code of TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, when signing up. On top of that, we are also donating an additional 10% to a nonprofit. For less than $10 a month or $100 a year, it's an absolute no-brainer. To see all of our websites, go to every.black and click on the Join button. That's every.black. Or if you're an entrepreneur, go to everyblackentrepreneur.com. Click on the sign up button and join today. You can reach us at 919-265-8045. That's 919-265-8045. Or email me at Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, at every, E-V-E-R-Y, dot black, B-L-A-C-K. We hope to hear from you soon. Sign up today and become a part of the Every.Black family of websites.
Hi, this is Bishop Michael Beck Sr., the business bishop, CEO of Truth Radio and Television Network. We're a streaming broadcast station bringing tools to take you to the next level with mission-driven messages, best in entertainment, advice, resources from some of the most influential businesses, ministries, and relationship, as well as personal development leaders in the world. Inspiring everyday people with a true passion for love, life, business, and what they do best. If you'd like to take what you do to the next level, your exposure is based upon your expansion. Your expansion is based upon your exposure. What we'd like to do is to help you get to the next level. If you'd like to partner with us, if you've enjoyed the program that you're now listening to, give us a call at 818-280-8198. 818-280-8198. If you have something that you'd like to share with the world, give me a call, 818-280-8198. Remember, truth crushed to earth will rise again.
Welcome back to Rogue Nation Radio on the African American Talk Radio Show. You're on Truth Network. I'm your host, Charlie Rogue. I also have my Rogue Nation panel. I got Ike Turner Jr. on the line and Lisa Lee. Hey, hey.
Hey. Hey, now.
Somebody going to eat their cake tonight.
Okay. You.
Eat that damn cake. I don't eat cake.
You eat everything from cupcakes.
Really? That's what
we're
doing?
You eat all cakes, but cut it out. In your food, everything. Cut it out.
Really?
Yeah. She's going to be taking.
I will karate chop. Anyway, welcome back, family. So, before we get to the split that I want to play, so the autopsy report for Kamika Jenkins came out. And if you don't know who that is, you've been hiding under a major, major, major rock. This was the 19-year-old black female that went to a hotel party with her friends.
So-called friends,
exactly. And somehow she ended up in the freezer dead. And, of course, there was protesting, people acted a fool. Then everybody wanted to be a detective on Facebook and Twitter, putting videos together. People who had worked at other hotels with the same refrigerators were going in, all right, so this is what it looked like. Yeah, I mean, everybody wanted their 5 seconds of fame. And it's a really unfortunate, sad situation. Like, it really makes you paranoid. Like, I got a team. Like, what would I do? But anyway, the report came out, basically, that she had taken some type of pill or pills plus alcohol. So, when I seen the video, I'm like, she don't look drunk, It was like she on something else, but
right.
That's what they came back with today, and I don't know how people gonna take that. It was so many stories. You don't know what to believe. You don't know what to throw out. Like, what can we take from this?
I'm just trying to figure out. Did you see her alcohol level? First of all, her alcohol level was like 3 times what they call drunk, and then mixed with the pills. I'm just trying to understand, if her family says she didn't drink, she's a teenager. Of course, they're going to tell you they don't drink, but I mean, that much, I don't know. All the same, it's crazy. Like, what, even if you were on pills and drunk.
That's what I'm saying. And if you look at the video of the one the girl posted, they were drinking and smoking and popping pills that entire video. So my whole thing,
right.
when it first came out, they said she was beat, raped, and threw in the refrigerator. I said, okay, everybody jump on Facebook. Because everybody want to get their little 15 minutes and everybody want to be followers. Nobody got the full story. Everybody just sit there and took it in and spread and spread and spread. I said, bro, just find out what's going on first before you jump on the bandwagon. When I first saw the video and saw her walking, I said, there's no way. No way that's just liquor. It's impossible. And then even when they found out they found in the refrigerator that she wasn't ready to be, I said, dude, she went in there and fell asleep. And she had alcohol poisoning, and she had hypothermia. That's exactly what I said when I said when they said she was in the fridge. I said, dude, she went in there and fell asleep. Like, she locked herself in the refrigerator. You can tell. And then it go from everybody want to put their videos on there with, and visually enhanced people talking about they saw somebody standing in the corner. So somebody going to beat her in the basement, hide in the corner, push her in the refrigerator, lock her. For what? What's the point? What they kill? What? I don't understand.
No, one of them was like, all right, so it's this guy following up in the corner, right? See, somebody directing her, right? I'm like, why is everybody... like making light of this horrible, tragic situation. What, like,
I'm like, but that's what I'm saying. Kill her for what? Like, it makes the whole story didn't make no sense.
But let me tell you who got a lawsuit. The family against the damn hotel. How in the hell was that basement not blocked off?
How was nobody down there at all? Not one single person. Like, nobody's in the kitchen. Like, nobody mopping and nothing.
That's what's suspect to me. Like, ain't no janitors. Like, that's what's suspect to me.
Nobody's walking around the hotel. Like, it's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. I bet you if I went down there trying to steal some chicken or something, motherfuckers would have been everywhere.
A Pepsi, anything.
Let me wait. Let me try to go on a trip and get some sausages or something. Mother, I'm telling you, every woman would have been everywhere. They would have had security everywhere. But you were walking and locking yourself in that. Just let me would have been trying to get something. Let me would have been going down there trying to get. I'm saying, if somebody's down there trying to steal, oh my God, the cameras and everywhere. It would have been police everywhere.
Oh my God. My stomach hurts. Okay, guys, I'm going to get off of this because we shouldn't be laughing as hard at this tragic situation. But this, you see, this is why it's Ike Junior. Anyway, so I want to play this clip. I am a big fan of the new Daily Show with Trevor Noah. I'm a semi kind of politics junkie, so I probably watch more than you all can ever take, only because people assume that, you know, we not paying attention. So I'm wondering, why do people talk about mass shootings as if they're natural disasters? So I want to play this clip because he sums it up perfectly. So hold on, take a listen. I'll be right back.
One thing that's particularly illuminating for me on the Trump issue is how he and how people deal with mass shootings in America. You know, on his side, I found it intriguing that after Puerto Rico's devastation, hurricane hits them. Immediately, he starts tweeting out, oh, this was a broke nation, they didn't pay their bills, they owed Wall Street, they were in debt, they didn't keep up their infrastructure, they didn't, immediately blaming the people of Puerto Rico. A hurricane hit them. No one plans for a hurricane. You can literally do nothing about a hurricane. And then you see him today giving his address, and he's like, you know, these poor people and the evil and the scourge that hit them. And I go, not that you shouldn't have said that, but you've displayed that you do have the ability to display sympathy, just not for certain people. You know what I mean? So when you're speaking about people who've been shot, they've been gunned down, and you just go, let's just in this moment, let's just acknowledge their pain and suffering. And then Puerto Ricans, you're like, let's talk about what they could have done, things that they could have done, and there's literally nothing. And that's the irony of the whole situation for me, is people speak about mass shootings like they are natural disasters. People speak about it like there's nothing you can do. Absolutely, what are we, it's another one. Oh, another one hits. There's nothing we can do. What can we do? And it's like, there is something you can do. There is something you can do.
Just want to say the United States has more guns. We have more guns than any other nation. But don't nobody want to do anything about it because they feel like somebody's coming to get their guns. But what do y'all think about
because
how
it's white people?
Hey,
it's white people.
Nakia.
Hello, boom.
Crashing the party. We don't need no invitation.
Because, you know, if you're white and it's white privilege, you know, you're mentally ill if you go shoot something up. Oh, what was me? What was that person? But let us do something. How about every black man in the U.S. go buy like 2 or 3 guns, and I guarantee you in 10, 12 days we're going to have some new regulations.
Hello, just said that. See, hello, they will ban that shit immediately. Okay.
My thing is, Australia had the same thing. Right, Australia had the same thing. Australia had a mass shooting, and like 6 months later, they changed all their gun laws, and they have not had one. And don't quote me on this. I don't know how many years it's been, but they have not had one since they changed their gun laws at all. But they're not going to do that unless it's a Muslim and or a black person. And you know what? I hate to change the show, but let me just tell you what happened to me this week. On September 11th, I go to my job with my head wrap on, and my boss comes to me and says, and I can see it in his face, he's trying to figure out how he going to say it to me because he don't want to sound prejudiced, even though he is. And his response is, right, his response is, I don't think you can wear that head wrap because I think it's unhygienic and the Board of Nursing might cite us.
What?
Really? You're an
Are
old
you
OR nurse.
Serious?
Yes.
What's
you're
more,
an old OR
more,
nurse. I work for Kendrick Hospital.
Wow.
So here's the deal. So he tells me that, and I said, you're an old OR nurse, and OR nurses are required to cover up their hair. What do you think, I'm turning my patients in the bed with my head or something? But I said, it's cool, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I called corporate office, asked them. I was like, you know, I need to know what our policy is. That was September 11th. HR did not get back to me until yesterday, and his response is, I need to talk to you so we can close this case out. Well, how are we going to close this case out? Because ain't nobody told me nothing. Ain't nobody called me and asked me nothing. So I, being the person I am, and you know I cut all my hair off so my hair is blue, go to work.
Is that why
and
you
he
did
had,
it?
That's not why I did it. But the nurse manager, instead of him talking to me, she has the nurse manager come and pull me to the side and tell me, you can't come to work tomorrow, as in today. Oh, I can't
what?
Come to work? Why is that? Well, because your hair is blue. I said, well,
oh,
pull
God.
Out the policy. Pull out the policy. So she pulls out the policy, and it says professional dress. And I said, guess what? I know it's your first week, boo-boo. But until you tell the supervisor that's in here walking around looking like an upside-down Ronald McDonald with Kool-Aid red and blonde hair and everybody else with purple and blue hair up in here, that supervisor to change that, then I think about changing mine.
Black
and she was like, but,
mm-hmm.
Then she tells me, right, you don't tell a black woman what we can and cannot do to our hair, okay? So then she tells me, well, I'm just letting you know I can't let you come to work. I said, well, okay, here, you got 3 options. You can give me 2 weeks off because I just changed my hair and ain't no way in hell I'm going to let my hair fall out and change it before 2 weeks. 2, you can give me emergency FMLA so I can spend time with my family who has cancer who y'all don't care about and just want to know why I didn't come to work. 3, you let me wear my head wrap. I said, you go to my boss. And you figure it out with him. Y'all sit down and have a conversation. Because either way, I'm off or I'm coming to work regardless. So I don't really care. Their response, oh, you can wear your head wrap now.
Oh, now.
I know that's right.
You can come to work and wear your head wrap now. See, you think I'm stupid. I'm not stupid. I'm smarter than
they
you.
They do.
And
I'm
then,
telling you, you got to beat them
yes.
with their own words. Slap that right
yes.
back in their face.
And then how about one of our physicians that works there has his own mosque and is over some really big, huge Muslim community in St. Louis. I told him today what happened, and he was like, oh, hell no. No, no, no. Get that in writing. Tell me what they say. Let me know because I will go holler at him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. Mm-hmm.
They're
yeah,
trying to get along.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they don't know they messing with educated black folks. Not just educated. We outspoken.
And that's their number one sir.
Outspoken,
yep.
educated, and about it.
They hate it.
Like they have
hate
no
that
idea
we got an education.
Like,
They hate it.
And I'm laughing all day long, like, hey, how you doing? Because I'm walking around with my hair wrap on today. Mm-hmm. Hey.
Let me tell me,
even if it's for religious purposes, I still can't wear it. Oh, really?
That's false.
Okay.
That's a lawsuit.
That's definitely a lawsuit. Thanks for the lawsuit, sir.
Thanks for that new beam. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And how? Shoot. Mm-hmm. Ain't no fun if friends can't have none. All right, panel. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Nakia. Thank you, Ike Turner Jr. Junior. I had an awesome time tonight. We will see you next Friday, same time, same place. You're listening to Rogue Nation Radio on the African American Talk Radio Show on Truth Network. We'll see you next week. See y'all next time.
Peace.
Yeah. Peace out.
Model on my own.